Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The water's already getting muddy in the world of college basketball. More news flying out here as we try and figure out landing spots for James Harden. What the hell's going to happen with Jared Goff now that his coach has actually called him out a little bit. All of that hanging in the balance. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Excited to talk to Torrey Smith in a little bit, former NFL wide receiver, Super Bowl champion, a guy who certainly has some strong opinions, and we're excited to look at the NFL weekend through his eyes here in a little bit. But Jhené, I know we were talking about Mike Krzyzewski and Duke, some of the comments that he made surrounding what they do going forward this season, the complications that college basketball is playing. And we have now received word that Duke has canceled the rest of its non-conference basketball schedule. Head coach Mike Krzyzewski discussed this decision on his SiriusXM radio show Basketball and Beyond, which was taped earlier Thursday before airing at 6 p.m. He's already informed his players. So, Jhené, it's interesting to look at their schedule after they just lost to Illinois. They're getting ready to play Charleston Southern this weekend, which would be one of the non-conference games, and then at Notre Dame for the on the 16th. They were supposed to play Gardner-Webb on the 19th, and then their rest of their conference slate would pick back up on the 29th. So essentially eliminating two games before they get into the full slate of conference play starting on the 16th.
I'm not surprised. Going into the season, I was telling people this was probably the best way to actually pull off a season without all of the numbers that we've seen reach 850 games postponed and or canceled. And so I feel like going conference only at least limits regionally your travel. And I was even a proponent of saying, hey, maybe you have bubble action where like you have a couple games, you do like five or six games over 2 weeks, take 2 weeks to practice, like be creative, but also understand that while we do enjoy these non-conference games, they're not necessarily necessary to have a college basketball season. And maybe if there are wiggle rooms after you realize that you are doing this safely, you can schedule a game here or there. But instead, we take off like normal, and then now we're starting to realize that the landing is extremely skittish for anyone to pull off a season this year.
It's going to be really interesting because college basketball faces a unique problem that I've thought a little less about than I probably should, which is the sheer numbers. If you've got cases and outbreaks on smaller teams, you're automatically at risk for falling below a level that you can have numbers to play versus a football team that's so much larger that maybe through some of the distancing elements of practice and protocol, you can try and mitigate those results through. So a lot of that still to be ironed out there, but Mike Krzyzewski and Duke going to be doing away with the final two non-conference games they were going to have before they get to that conference schedule. We'll get a lot more information on that as it comes along, but we got to try and find a home for James Harden first. Some new players reportedly have thrown their hat in the ring for this right now, so let's get a little bit of this action ready, maybe do this in something called one and done around here.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, Jhené, we see some reports out there that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat might be interested in the services of one James Harden as well. We know the 76ers and Nets were involved already. So, Jhené, when you look at those four spots, is there one that jumps that maybe starts to make sense as we've still got a disgruntled James Harden waiting to clear COVID protocol?
I want to pose a question to you guys, okay? If you could get Ben Simmons and multiple first picks, that's a no-brainer, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, and a number of first round picks. Would you do that?
Yeah, you could probably tempt me with that.
Okay, how about Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jaren Allen, and multiple first round picks?
Yeah, now we're building something.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. And then my favorite here, Chris Middleton, Dante DiVincenzo, and maybe a first round pick.
This one becomes, I think, the most interesting, Jhené, because you could argue of that group now, Ben Simmons would obviously be the crown jewel of this for anyone.
Oh, yes.
If you're looking at all of this. But we've heard Philadelphia might be hesitant about moving him. We've certainly heard in Brooklyn, he didn't even mention his name, that Kyrie Irving is likely off the table there. So if those two are removed in the way they have been, Jhené, You could argue Chris Middleton might be the best singular player that you could be getting back in a deal like this.
Absolutely. So the answer is Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee could actually really work. But the problem here is you already have most of what Giannis needs. So why should this even happen? And I think that's why a lot of people say, hey, James Harden, I mean, it's going to be harder for him to leave, even though he wants to leave right now, and for the Rockets to be patient. Ideally, if I'm the Rockets, I would want something of Ben Simmons caliber. And then next, you're going to go down the list. Who's the next most talented player? Probably Chris Middleton certified. And then after that, maybe a Tyler Hero, a Caris LeVert, something like that in one of those packages. But you work your way from the top and then all the way down. But that doesn't take into the fact all the personalities on each team. And as you listed them, their personalities on the Brooklyn Nets that made this a little bit harder. Their personalities on the 76ers, but also younger personalities that are harder to part with. Their personalities on the Heat, but they've trended in the right direction and shown that their core right there is pretty good. Do you bring in a veteran that maybe might seem a little bit more ball dominant, may not fit necessarily into the culture on the court? I don't know about off, though. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting. And I think that's why it's going to be really hard. The answer to me is if I'm the Rockets, I want Milwaukee. I want Chris Middleton, maybe another young player, and I want a whole bunch of picks. But I don't think it's going to be that simple because the Milwaukee Bucks have what they need right now to compete. You asked them one thing, Junior, and it was get a point guard. They got it. They got Jrue Holiday. Good size, can play defense, can score offensively, is a leader, and is an unproblematic. You still have Chris Middleton, and you still have Giannis, the two-time MVP, and also Defensive Player of the Year this year. That's why the answer is super complicated for Houston. It's because you just have to wait and hope for the best, but knowing that if your star keeps forcing, you're probably going to expect the worst.
But, Chiney, the thing you brought up here that's interesting to me is the Milwaukee Bucks have everything they need, but Giannis clearly doesn't. Because if Giannis had everything he felt like he needed, his answer wouldn't have been my agent will handle all this. I'm not ready to talk about a max extension or any of the things that come up in that vein. Like, he very much gave you the non-answer, stiff-armed any talk about signing that max contract, which let me know, all right, if it had been good enough, guess where the pen would have been? Firmly planted on the paper. So I don't know if the Bucks can necessarily say, we believe we've got a team that can win. We need to say we have got a message and a clear plan that we can sell to our best player to get him to stay. Because that is your sun and your moon, your alpha and omega, is Giannis Antetokounmpo continuing to suit up in a Bucks uniform.
You know, there was a very, very interesting person that had to do this exact thing coming off of a rookie contract and had to go to the media and say, I just let the cat out of the bag. It was me as a rookie going off of my rookie extension. I remember this process. And guess what? Your girl did exactly what Giannis Antetokounmpo did. Stood in front of Mike saying, look, I just want to focus on basketball. We have an opportunity to compete here in Connecticut. And yes, my agent will handle that. Shout out to Allison Gaylor. Now, the funny thing is your girl was gone 2 years later. Okay. But, you know, in that moment, I think this is what you're seeing from Giannis. He's focusing on his game, which is what matters most. And then he'll see how the team and the season shapes up. And then eventually maybe he will be a free agent, but that does assume some risk. And that risk is what makes things scary for athletes. But it's only necessary if you fully believe that you need to be on a contender and you haven't figured that out yet. I let the cat out of the bag.
You were doing so well today. I was so excited for you. There's all this mystery surrounding it. It's like, guys, I hit the Giannis before it was the Giannis. Thank you very much. Yes. I got this one on lock. It will be fascinating to see if Miami can just sit here idly and say, we're going to count on the Bucks to do our word for us. Dealer showing six. We think they're going to bust, and he is going to fall into our loving arms. Mm-hmm. There's a lot at play here. The NBA offseason, just when we shortchanged it, Janae, just when we sat up here and said they can take the year off, they always know what I need.
Yep.
They always, always do. Janae Angola Jr. reminding you, don't miss two big fights this Saturday at UFC 256 when Davison Figueiredo puts his belt back on the line against Tony Ferguson returning to the octagon. UFC 256 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. Now, coming up tonight, will one quarterback be flat out golfle? Or do we think the Rams can find the end zone early?
He's going to go golf.
He's going to go golf. They're going to find the end zone and golfed. We tried. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
I want to get to this Thursday night football game because I think we finally start to put pressure on Jared Goff in a way that I'm not 100% sure was there before, Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll talk to former NFL wide receiver Torrey Smith in about 10 minutes here and get his big picture view of what's going on in the NFL, what's going on with one of his former teams in the Baltimore Ravens, who had that strange occurrence with Dez Bryant before that game. But, Chinay, a lot of Disney announcements today. Got some big ones out here. Most notably, in my world of college football, ESPN today announced that together with the SEC, they've got a new deal to add the most watched TV package with the 2024 season of the SEC now coming over to ESPN and ESPN Plus. So, pretty exciting one there for the world of college football. It sounds like there's going to be some sort of Sports Nation reboot going on. And in January, ESPN Plus is launching an exclusive new studio show featuring none other than Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, man.
All in. I don't know what Stephen A. Smith is going to yell at me about, but I want him to yell at me about whatever he like on ESPN Plus.
Here, let's help help Stephen A. out for a second. Hit us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr., at ESPN Radio. What would you want to watch Stephen A. do on an ESPN Plus show? Any suggestions? Some people said react to The Mandalorian. I don't understand what that, like, yeah. I don't know.
Well, hell no.
On that front, too, Chinay, I saw Disney's announced that Disney Plus is going to debut 10 Marvel series, 10 Star Wars series, 15 Disney and Pixar series, and 15 Disney and Pixar features. Devin, I know you guys, you and our producer Shannon are salivating right now at the amount of Marvel and Star Wars content coming out here.
Just keep it. Honestly, it's not enough. Keep it coming. We want more.
It's one of those things where people say, like, oh, maybe, like, you flip. No, like, I could literally do Marvel movies every year for the rest of my life until I die and be happy about it. They've never found enough for me, Chinay, and I don't know if they will.
I need to pick back up on the Marvel challenge.
Oh,
I have
no.
Really slacked. Oh, I know I said that first week of the show that I would actually finish the movies. I got stuck on Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It's all on Plus. You can watch it right here.
It's okay. Your girl's practically like a what do you call those things? Like a Skywalker or whatever the case is.
Chinay has been in one Star Wars commercial now and thinks that she is the biggest Star Wars fan on this show. I love it. I absolutely love it. We have two bona fide Star Wars nerds on this show, and Chinay is taking top billing because she has been in a commercial that you can check out all over ESPN's airways. It's pretty dope.
It's the Millennium Falcon. It made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Nailed it.
Hey, Junior, go play some space darts.
Okay.
Thank you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way that you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Now, that is all very exciting, Chinay. We are looking forward to some of those cool announcements here, but we're also looking forward. We got a legit game on Thursday night, which we know is hit or miss. It's like the most slandered night of football. Although I feel like this year, where we've had Tuesday football and Wednesday afternoon
football.
Thursday night football is kind of looking over at us. It's like, you didn't know what you had until we got to this year, did
you? Thank you. Mm-hmm. We are stability here, Thursdays.
We are your rock. All right? And you will respect our authority here. But, Chinay, I think respect is kind of what we've always been looking at in a different way with Jared Goff, because he's a quarterback that has played in a Super Bowl that was a part of one of the best offenses in the NFL when they played the Patriots in Super Bowl 53. We know they ran into a bit of a difficult situation, putting it lightly, in that Super Bowl game. And so now we're at a point where Jared Goff, who was a number one overall pick that a lot of people left for dead early on, was revived by Sean McVay, is now being called out by his head coach, saying he's got to play better. And this is the first time I can really remember something like that happening internally, Chinay, because Sean McVay's kind of got this Tony Robbins about him. He's a really positive energy guy. So do you think that kind of tactic from a head coach with a star like Jared Goff is one that's going to pay off for them here?
I feel like he would know out of anyone else. And it's funny because when you talk about people that are rays of sunshine for most parts, you know, Dan Orlovsky is very similar in that regard when it comes to our NFL Live host and analyst in the NFL, because he was saying he didn't mince words. He was like, there's so much pressure on Jared Goff tonight. And I was like, okay, that's interesting because we all know that this is a completely different Patriots team led by Cam Newton. And so we sort of erased that in our heads. But still, I was looking at the numbers. The Rams enter the game with a 99% chance of making the playoffs and a 65% chance of winning the NFC West, obviously if they advance with a win. They have a 70% chance to win the division with a win, and then they'll have a 54% chance to win the division with a loss. So the pressure is on for them to at least say, all right, we are here, we're actually at the top, and we're the ones that's moving forward. And so there's so many pockets of pressure, no pun intended, that Jared Goff is going to have to deal with tonight. Do you think, I feel like Is this a must-win game for him? Even though I understand he has some time to get that playoff number percentage to 100%, which the odds are in his favor. But tonight, it seems like everyone has circled it as like, this is your, you are better than what we have said you are night, including his coach.
Yeah, Janae, I think it's interesting because he's always going to be, as long as Sean McVay is the coach of this team, he's always going to be second fiddle because everyone now has it not only baked into their psyche, but they've seen too many examples of it, seen and heard too much praise of Sean McVay to give Jared Goff a ton of credit. But you look at three of their last four games against the Seahawks, Bucks, and Cardinals as wins. The 49ers in that division are a weird matchup-laden division, Shanae. Mm-hmm. But you're right. All the pressure is firmly on that side because this Patriots team, again, no one expects much of them right now. I saw this stat earlier, Shanae, from Warren Sharp, who does a great job doing analytics on Twitter. Sharp Analytics is the website. And he tweeted this out. Cam Newton is the first starting quarterback to throw for less than 100 yards in consecutive wins since Brady Quinn did it in 2009. This Patriots team took the model from last year and shrunk it even more with a different quarterback and lesser personnel. And so the fact that they're 6-6 feels like a godsend for most people. It is all going to be on what can Jared Goff and this Rams team, who now seem to be in control of this division, have to offer.
And that's it right there, Junior. It's the expectation that we are creating, and largely they're creating on themselves with their own success. But it's funny when you spin it to the Patriots side of things, because I feel like Cam Newton, you should get a medal for going out there and competing the season, and then on top of it, you get COVID. And so the situation in which for him to still go out there and produce, and at least they know what they're going to do going into this game. You're going to try to take that same model of, you know, making the quarterback make decisions defensively, and then also you have Cam here whose strength is running the ball. Like, when you think about the Patriots this year, do you think that, hey, all is, like, as long as they finish their games, they've done enough success for them to feel at least decent about themselves? Or do you think that we still have to put that expectation of winning? Because I know New England always puts an expectation, but I feel like this year they've tempered those feelings, at least for the short term.
I think that always comes with that program, Chinee, but I think they were all very aware, and Bill Belichick has said as much publicly, being aware of what this team has been this season, what they've got to address going forward to make sure that this is a blip in the radar and not the beginning of a trend in the post-Tom Brady world for this New England Patriots team. But a lot of that does hinge on Cam Newton. So coming up next, has Cam Newton turned a corner, and what would a player have done? How would you have reacted being on the sideline, finding out that one of your teammates was taken off 30 minutes before the game because of COVID-19. We will ask our next guest just that. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So much of this summer was about change, trying to figure out what and how to process everything changing in the world. Well, coming up next, we'll show you one team and an organization in the NBA that's putting their money where their mouth is and starting to create some real noticeable change. It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and that's where we're going to head right now as former NFL wide receiver and two-time Super Bowl champ Torrey Smith joins us here on the show. Torrey, we appreciate the time, man. How you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. It's all things considered, it's been a lot happening over the course of this year, and I know for you, you came into this league with the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm curious, as you're watching, you know, we've got Tuesday night football, we're watching this team go out and try and play, and we all see the headline, Dez Bryant pulled off the field 30 minutes before the game after we had seen him out there interacting with other people. I mean, you're a player on that team. What are the thoughts racing through your head even watching it now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still crazy, you know, but you're playing in the middle of a pandemic, so you're not surprised by anything. But the Dez thing was crazy. I mean, I saw clips of him dapping guys up, giving them hugs and all kinds of stuff. And next thing you know, I see he's off the field and he's not playing. And it was weird. And I see that he was clear today. But hopefully he's safe and he doesn't have it. But I wish he would have been able to play. But that's just, things are going to be weird in 2020, and it's going to be all over here soon.
Very hope so. I hope so very much. Torrey Smith, former NFL wide receiver and two-time Super Bowl champ here with us on Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, Torrey, speaking of the Ravens, I feel like the good way to describe it is this has been a season full of growing pains for a lot of players, even though we just saw Lamar sort of ball out, Lamar Jackson. What have you seen this season from the quarterback and also how he's grown? Because you have a different vantage point being most recently on the field and seeing how they work professionally.
You know, with Lamar, seeing a guy who's obviously he didn't play at the MVP level, but he also set the bar so high last year that that's going to be tough to reach anyway. You know, when you have your offensive line, guys are getting hurt. Marshall Yanda retired, one of the best players in the league for the past decade. It's going to be tough for you at the quarterback position. And it's not just people seeing the offense in year two and seeing a lot more of him. I don't buy into that. There's been flat out opportunities that have been missed. Receivers haven't necessarily been in the right spot at the right time as well. It's kind of just been a team effort as to why the offense has been as efficient as it could be or should be. And Lamar just continued to battle, and the offensive line is fighting their tail off as well, which is why, you know, I think this past Wednesday, I'll try to say Sunday's game, this past game they just had, you know, will be able to help them propel forward.
Torrey, it's interesting in that regard because a lot of the same things you said about the Ravens there that are true could also be said about the Philadelphia Eagles right now, and yet they're making a quarterback change going into this weekend with Jalen Hurts, who was the backup, now getting his first NFL start. Where are you at on that decision? I know you played with Carson Wentz and you're familiar with this organization, but do you think this is the right time to make a move like this considering all the other issues this team has?
I feel like if you're going to make the move, you have to make it. You know, you already put Jalen Hurts in the game, and now he has to go out there and play. I feel bad for Carson. That's one, a great friend of mine, and I still feel like, you know, when he has everything going in his favor, a solid offensive line and weapons around him, he's a top five quarterback in this league. And it's been tough this year. The offensive line's been beat up. His confidence has been rattled, and that happens to players all the time when that is like a snowball that continues to build and it starts to avalanche. It seems like everything's just going bad, and that's what's happening in Philadelphia right now for Carson. But I think he's going to handle it well just because of who he is as a person. But it put the team in a tough spot. You know, you just paid him a huge contract, and then you move on, you know, in this way because of play. You know, if I was the coach, and I'm not Coach Peterson, which is why, and I also haven't coached a Super Bowl winning team, so you have to put some respect on his name. But I wouldn't have did this in the first place. You know, I would have just rode the season through with Carson and hoped that within off season everything gets back to normal. I mean, when you watch this team, you can't just point to one person. Has Carson played his best ball? Absolutely not. But is he the only person to blame for what's going on with this offense? Absolutely not. So it's important that, you know, you keep things into perspective. But now you create a controversy that we're going to be talking about all season. You know, not if Carson Wentz is going to be the quarterback again this season, but will he even be on his team next season really comes into play.
Former NFL wideout Torrey Smith with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. I'm curious from that standpoint, because you mentioned knowing Carson, and we've heard a couple of other teammates come out and give a vote of confidence for him and say exactly what you said. Jason Kelce, their center, said this has been a failing on all of our parts. But how do you have to go about that in the locker room if you're another player on this team outside of that room, as you certainly feel for Carson Wentz, but know you've got a young player who's getting thrown into a situation against this Saints defense this weekend?
Yeah, everyone still has the same job description. You know, it's not tied to any individual player. Are there personal feelings involved? Sometimes, sure. You know, you care about the person next to you, but Jalen Hurts is also their teammate as well. You know, so you have to support him the same way. And, you know, sometimes coaches have to make tough decisions and put, you know, that people aren't comfortable with. And so, you know, that's the decision they made, and you have to live with it. This is a team that's still trying to win the games, a team that still believes they have a chance to make it to the playoffs. So, you know, they're shaking it up right now. You have to live with it, and the guys will be ready to roll.
Torrey Smith, two-time Super Bowl champ here with us on Chiney and Golic Jr., Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, Torrey, I really went down your timeline, and I saw that you're talking about what matters most right now. Today is a day in which we talked about college hoops, people deciding to shrink their schedules, so many number of games canceled and postponed. This is something, a challenge that all athletes are dealing with, especially mentally. And I know you went out and have spoken on mental health and its importance. Why is this important for you to make your voice heard so that you can actually advocate for the athletes in the locker rooms now?
Well, first of all, I applaud you for taking it to the dangerous place, which is my timeline. You never know what's going to be going on over there. But, you know, when it comes to mental health, that's very important to me. You know, I realized as a child growing up, I experienced a lot of different things, a lot of trauma, and I didn't really know how to talk about it. You know, I kind of kept everything to myself. I would be in a shell at all times. And it wasn't until I met my wife that I realized I had built up so many different walls, you know, whether it's anger, whether it's disappointment, not being able to trust people, not being able to love people. Those are things that I really struggle with. And when you're an adult, you know, everyone kind of deals with these things as well. And I tell people all the time, I played in the NFL for 8 years, and probably about six or so, I wasn't even happy. And so money didn't necessarily fix all of the problems that I had. And, you know, I'm confident in I stand tall and proud in saying that, you know, I do speak to a therapist. I do talk to my friends. I do open up more, you know, to my wife and people around me because I bottled up for so long. You know, it's like shaking up a can. You know, eventually that thing's going to explode. And for me, it's been very helpful to me, and I want to let people know that it's okay. Break the stigma that just because you're struggling with something mentally, you're not weak, which is what I've been told my whole life, especially playing football and being a black man. Talking about mental health, you know, is a sign of weakness. So it has always been considered a sign of weakness, and that's just not the truth. So I think it's important for athletes to continue to break that stigma because it doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich or poor, you know, from America or not. You know, mental health doesn't discriminate.
Torrey, I'm curious. You came into the league in 2011. You mentioned part of this is the gladiator sport that doesn't allow for, you know, quote-unquote weakness in certain spots. I know you probably still have plenty of friends in the league, guys you talk to now. Have you seen any of the thoughts around this, the stigma around this change inside NFL locker rooms in particular, where you're right, it is so difficult to talk about these things sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, in the locker room is different because you're around guys who can relate to it. You know, I'm honest about some of my struggles. I mean, I come from nothing, and then all of a sudden you're having to deal with money and having the pressure of people pulling on you and expecting things, and you trying to budget to make sure you don't go broke. And, you know, it's a lot of different things that go into it. People lying, stealing, manipulating, like so many different things that happen, and it's tough for you to kind of balance that when you think things should be perfect. Or even, we're literally just talking about Carson Wentz. In the real world, you just watch somebody get fired and have to show up at work. You know, that stuff is on your mind whether you want it to be or not. And I think the subconscious mind is a more dangerous place than what's actually in front of you because it's that little man just running on your mind all day and you don't even know what to do. And so it's important to break that stigma. Again, it's important to talk about it. And not just your peers, but, you know, the younger generation as well. So you could talk about, I mean, every athlete that you're talking about or that you look up to or that you know of has dealt with something. And we have to stop isolating athletes, celebrities, or people with money like they're just because they have things going in their favor or things look good on social media or even on television that their life is perfect and that they shouldn't struggle with things or that they don't.
If you're a young athlete, I hope you listen to everything Torrey just said because it couldn't be more spot on. We appreciate the time and all the insight and your openness on all these subjects, man. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you for a lot longer very soon.
Thanks, Torrey.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Torrey Smith, former Super Bowl champion. Well, I can say you're a Super Bowl champion forever, two-time Super Bowl champion, former NFL wide receiver with us here on Chené and Golic Jr. And in incredible openness and honesty there that I think we can all appreciate and all do better to emulate going forward. And coming up next, as we talk about putting things into action, living the things that we try and preach, one NBA team has done just that. We'll tell you about that next. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Show today.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith was just awesome now. We can't have that guy back on enough.
That
two-time Super
spitting.
Bowl champ, former NFL wide receiver, and incredible mental health advocate. Chené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chené Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It was also great to catch up with Florida Gators quarterback Kyle Trask, Heisman hopeful down the stretch of his season, and our quarterback here, Dan Orlovsky, coming to kick it with us. Uncle Dan on the show today. But Chené, we have a lot to still get to today. A lot of things that we want to celebrate here. Some pretty cool moments that I think are a culmination of what's happened over the summer. So let's keep that same energy. How about this, Chené? We always say this, both headlines, putting your money where your mouth is here.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Mavericks announced they're going to be releasing J.J. Barea, who's been a longtime player for that team, a thorn in the side of so many people defensively and meant a lot to that organization. Well, the Mavs knew that. Mark Cuban, their owner, knew that last month when they still signed him to a one-year deal with a vet minimum of $2.6 million as a thank you, knowing they were likely going to release him this week here. So pretty cool and classy move from an owner who's certainly never shy about spending money on the people that matter to him.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. And I will not state the obvious. This man has had a tremendous career, and I feel like he's defied the odds, especially at the position with his competitive fire. So, yes, he deserves every one of them coins.
J.J. Barea is still undecided whether he's going to try and play for another team this year or go into coaching, but gets to do it with 2.6 in his pocket on the way out as a pretty cool thank you that I'm sure resonates with a lot of folks from Mark Cuban. But then there's this, Chinay. We talk so much this summer. You talk so much this summer as a leader in the WNBA Players Association and among the active players, trying to get people more involved in voting and processes that would help black and brown Americans in this country. And one team has stepped up to that cause in a big way. The Atlanta Hawks became the first professional sports team to secure financing with black-owned banks. The team is going to refinance its $35 million Emory Sports Medicine Complex construction loan with a syndicate of black-owned banks. Coming off of everything we went through this summer, Chinay, where we talked about actionable steps and things that could actually help in that community, this seems like something that goes a long way.
And this is all about being intentional. And what I love about this is it's like the trickle-down effect. You have the players being active, especially using their voices to push the message of voting, as we saw in the bubble, which everyone can get behind. Everyone should have equal or better access to voting. And then we even had, I think it was a friend of the show, Coach Lloyd Pierce, that joined us talking about the measures that they were doing to try to make sure everyone in their community specifically had access to voting. And then now they're falling through this season with being intentional about where the money goes. And so this is what actually creates change. It's not just going out there and talking about it. It's about being about it. And this franchise has really done this. I mean, honestly, I'm just super impressed. This is news to me.
The principal owner of the Hawks said, quote, "Today's announcement reflects our commitment to putting our values into action. By choosing to work with black banks and drawing attention to the need for black banks to thrive as they work towards addressing the lack of access to capital in black communities. We always strive to ask ourselves how the Hawks can best help those in our community that are already helping others. And today's announcement is another step in our commitment to use the Hawks as a positive agent of change." Snaps all around.
Wow, a lot of great energy.
It's been solid to end the show, Chinay. And you know what? It's good because we like to build towards things, right?
Yeah.
We got Thursday Night Football in the works tonight. Patriots-Rams mm-hmm. that we're excited about. No doubt on that one. But you know what's laying in the wings? Waiting.
What?
Midnight Eastern. Taylor Swift is about to do it to us again, Chinay. Keep that same energy.
Cliff, what are you doing?
Yet another follow-up to Folklore. The sister album drops tonight. I could not be more thrilled. Chinay, Evermore. Taylor Swift doing it to us again. She saved us this summer, Chinay. She lifted us up, and now she is back again. As darkness closes in, Taylor Swift is the light that we need, and I am thrilled.
If there are 2020 nominees for lifting us up this summer, I'd like to add Meg Thee Stallion to the list. Both women that I would love to be friends with, one from Houston and also one currently. Thank you, Cliff. That's that energy. When I was in Connecticut, my number one thing was like, if I'm going to be out here, which I was by myself for the most part, until I became friends with you, Junior, I was like, I hope I run into Taylor Swift because she's usually out on the East Coast, and that's where she does her thing, you know? So I'm here for this album. I'm curious. I'll listen.
Listen, if it is anything like Folklore, I am going to be transformed in a place where I have probably had a few glasses of red wine and shed a couple of big-time tears. That is the kind of night that we have got on deck here, Chinay, in addition to trying to figure out, you know, if Jared Goff is going to go out there and go golf or be golfful, as we've said before.
Oh, goodness. Is there any more you can think of?
I'm trying to think. I mean, you want to try and get the ball into Cooper Kupp's hands early in Goffton. We're already out of Goftober, so we're good on that front right there. That
one's
probably even a little suspect in its own right. He might have the most punnable name in all NFL quarterbacks.
Can I offer you a suggestion for another one?
Oh, please. No. Absolutely.
Oh, no. That was it.
We're
twins.
Yes, we need to celebrate that amongst all the things that have happened today as we get ready for all this to happen. Chinay and I have now reached the point in our work relationship where we show up dressed damn near the same in all of this one. Stylish glasses, comfortable hoodies, and just trying to put everyone on notice that this is the sports.
So which glasses are those? Are those the blue lights? I'm confused.
These are blue light glasses, a little leopard print on them, Chinay. It's all deadly right now. This is how we have to live in 2020, Chinay. This is how we have to take care of ourselves and prioritize how we need to get through this hellscape of a year. We're going to find a way. We're going to keep it moving.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.